Yeah. Before we start, don't put on tape questions, just a few technical things. We're still in the middle of work, really, just to make sure everything runs smooth. So if anyone has any issues whatsoever, speak to Rabbi Wall, speak to myself, or Stevie, or... Well, hopefully everything will be... we'll have a very successful summer. Okay, thank you. The first sugya that we're going to learn is the sugya of Hilchos Aninus, Hilchos Onen. So that in and of itself is really a little bit of a misnomer. We know there is a principle of Aninus that we're going to be touching on a little bit later on. We spoke about it when we speak about Avelus per se. The term Onen actually comes from the Chumash itself. The Torah speaks about someone who's in the state of Aninus is not permitted to eat Karbono, someone who's in the state of Aninus is not permitted to eat Maisesheni. The Torah says, V'ashkisavolos lo'achalti v'oni mimenu. So it's all sugi masechet zvachim about the details of this halach in terms of Aninus. What exactly are the Yisuri Onim in HaTorah concerning Kachim and Maitesheni? What are the Yisuri Onim in the Rabbanon? But that has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Aninus, what the real term is, what's called Misha Meis Amut Olafonav. That's the Mishnah in the beginning of the third Pekah Masechet Bracha. Speaks about a whole series of other halachas concerning someone who is quote-unquote an Onim, someone who's in the state between when a relative passes away before the Kvura. That's what we call colloquially today Onim. The Rebbe used to say that it's mamash a mistake. It's not our fault. The Shacharach uses the term Milchus Onen. The Rebbe used to say it was never really meant that way. The only reason why the Rishonim and the Acharonim use the term Milchus Onen is because Misha Meis Mutl Fanav is so long. It takes such a long thing on the top of the page. They Hilchus Misha Meis Mutl Fanav. So they borrowed the phrase Onen. It's not really the same thing. Hilchus Onen, Api Alacha really refers in terms of areas concerning the Beit HaMikdash. But Lamaisa, we're going to follow the Shacharach and then we're going to call it Hilchus Onen. So what exactly is the status of an onen? So before we understand what an onen is not permitted to do, so we have to really precisely define what exactly constitutes an onen. So the Mishnah tells us, we said a moment ago, Misha Meisa Mutal Lefanav, that's considered to be a onen. So the Gemara in the beginning of the third Rechel Brachas qualifies that statement a little bit. The Misha Meisa Mutal Lefanav doesn't just mean literally that the Meis is mamish in front of him, that he's in the same room, but Kola Mutal of the Kovra is Misha Meisa Mutal Lefanav Dami. That is long, whenever there's a Chiyav of Kvura, on a relative, that Alpi Din is considered to be Misha Meis Amut Lefanav. So come to Rishonim and say that based on this idea, this ironclad equation between Misha Meis Amut Lefanav is synonymous with Misha Mut Alav Lekovro, that's going to determine what's considered to be an Onen. What does that mean? So we'll start with the most extreme scenario. That's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. So comes Rabbeinu Tam, as quoted by Taisus in the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yonah, came up with the following of Alpi Chiddush. Comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, that what's it in the following case, and not only was it a theoretical case, it was Ma'isa Shoya Kachai, with Rabbeinu Tam himself. Rabbeinu Tam was living in, I don't know, when he became here, when was Rabbeinu Tam lived? What was the city? Nobody knows? Okay, we'll figure it out by lunchtime. So Rabbeinu Tam lived in city X, and he had a married sister who was living in another city, in city Y, and he got news that his sister had passed away. So normally we think that's a classic Onen. He didn't go to Mizah. So Rabbeinu Tam said, no, it's not true. That Alpi Din wasn't considered to be an Onen. It was mutter for him to eat bas of a yayin, and it was mutter for him to do mitzvahs, even though those things which are normally synonymous with the Yisuri Aninus. Rabbeinu Tam held that it was hefka gomer. Mamish did it. Why? What was his svara? So Rabbeinu Tam said, because it's not mutter love a kovro, that the whole din is Misha Meis and mutter lefanav. And the Gemara says that mutter love a kovro, that's called Misha Meis and mutter lefanav. So it's not mutal of the kovro. The question is, why not? Why exactly is it not mutal of the kovro? So here is a little bit of an ambiguity. What exactly are Rabbeinu Tam then? So if one reads the simple reading of the Rishonim and Asugya, it would appear that the svar was based on the following. We know that Halacha tells us that a baal is chayav the kvuras ishto. Those many of us don't understand. Ksubis is here, so that's one of the dinim, that a husband is mechuyav to bury his wife. So Rabbeinu Tam made a simple cheshbon. Rabbeinu Tam said, it's not my chiv, it's not my achrayus to bury my sister. The achrayus is on my sister's husband. Who happened to have been the Re's father, by the way, just in case anyone's interested in the family tree of Rabbeinu Tam. So it comes, huh? Rashi's not one also, yeah, everyone's related. So by the end of the year, we'll know, not only Hilchos Avelus, we'll know exactly which Baal Tais is related to. Mm-hmm. So comes Rabbeinu Tam and says that since his sister's husband had the Chi of Kvura, so Mamela, he has a brother, did not have the Chi of Kvura. That's the way many Rishonim seem to present what Rabbeinu Tam said. If that's what Rabbeinu Tam meant, So then the fact that Rabbi Natan happened to have lived in a different city than his sister was really just coincidental. It would not have necessarily changed the psak whatsoever. And that's the fact what Taisus writes. Taisus writes such a svara that maybe Rabbi Natan haya mekel even be'osar ir. The Matthias was, it happened to be in a different city, but that's not really the kaveh. The kaveh was that pi'alocha, he wasn't really mechuyim b'kfur rasa. However, there's another way of understanding Rabbi Natan, and this is Tamid Rabbi Yonah, allude to this type of idea. The Bach really was the one who brought this home. The Bach in the Sibin Hilchos Aninus writes that he thinks that those Rishonim who presented Rabbi Natan, as the reason why Rabbi Natan was not an Aninus, was because of the halacha that his brother-in-law was mechuyev in the kfur of his sister. Says the Bach, that's not correct. The real reason why Rabbi Natan held that he wasn't in Aninus is because he was in a different city. So comes the Bach and qualifies that statement. It says like this, that Kol Zman, if you have, let's say, a Reuven is in one city, and Reuven hears that a relative of his died in another city. So comes the Bach and says, if there are other relatives in the city where the mace is, to be metapel in the mace, so technically speaking, he's not mechuyev. So the relatives who's 1,000 miles away is not mechuyev to drop everything and go run to the other city. So mele is not with the love of kavro. So mele the dinim of aninus do not apply. However, let's say there is no other relative in the other city. He gets a telegram in the olden days. He gets a phone call today that his relative died. Let's say he's in New York. He gets a call that his relative just died in Florida, and there's no other relative in Florida to metapel in the maze. So the halacha of kvura requires him to get on the first plane and to fly down to Florida. So Rabbi Natan would never have said that such an individual is not called an onin. And if Avi's called an onin, when did Rabbi Natan that said that a relative who's out of town is not called an onin? That's Chochmah Ma'askin, and there are other relatives around. So when Rabbi Natan said that it's not my problem, it's my brother-in-law's problem, he didn't mean to say that it's my brother-in-law's problem, and therefore it's the halacha of the chiv of Baal, the cruz ishto that passes him. No. The pope there, Nuchas Aninas, according to the Bach's understanding of Rabbi Natan, is the mere fact that he was out of town. The only reason why he threw in that idea about his brother-in-law is just to express the point that there's somebody else to take care of it. So comes the Bach and says, what would the din be in the totally reverse? Let's say, for argument's sake, his sister happened to come and visit Rabbi Natan. Let's say his sister came to Rabbi Natan's city, and she died right in Rabbi Natan's house. Now he has a brother-in-law 50 miles away, so who's the owner and who's not the owner? So if you go with the first shot, that the owner is the one who Apidin has the highest level of Chiyuv Kavura, namely the husband, so in such a situation, Rabbi Natan himself would not be an onin, and the brother-in-law would still be an onin. Masha Enkin, according to the Bach's understanding of Rabbi Natan, no. That first crack, if the mace is in your city, and you are the relative around, so Avad, you have a chiyuv in terms of, you have a din anina. So in Echinam, according to this nupsha, according to the Bach's shot of Rabbi Natan, it will come out an unbelievable thing, that you can have a husband who's not going to be an onin. Because if the husband's out of town, and the person dies in a place where the other relatives are around, that's enough to declare aninus on them and not on you. So really, in effect, we have Rabbi Natan's sheet. Rabbi Natan said something mechudishnik, some new hagdara in terms of Bittul of the Kavro. We're not sure exactly what he said. We're not sure whether Taiz's pshat is right or whether the Bach's pshat is right.
We work both ways for the Bach. If the Bach went out of town and the wife died, and the town they're living in,
it's exactly what the Bach says. The Bach says whoever's in town, that's the one who has a din aninus. Whoever's out of town doesn't have a din aninus. The only time he has a din aninus, if you're out of town, says the Bach, and there are no relatives in town to be metapel.
The agreement between regular aninus and the husband has a din.
Yes, so the Bach doesn't say that, right? The Bach says, befeirish. The Bach says this scenario. He says that if Rabbi Natan's sister would have died in Rabbi Natan's town, and he would have been in charge of taking care of us, then the husband would have not been an aninus. I don't know. I'm not sure. How do we paskin? This is a major, major shayla. These shaylas happen all the time. How do we paskin the halacha? If they're both in town, so then the Bach says, so then everybody has a chiyuv. I mean, my omei hai mei hai. You can't point. The only time the Rabbi Natan was going to be meiko, if you can point that I'm in town and he's not in town. But if everybody's in town together, then everybody's in the chiyuv. How do we paskin the halacha? So the Rush holds the whole thing is not true. The Rush writes, "Well, Shemana the Vedemi Yoelam." Yeah, we Shemana. We remain a time we heard it, but says the Rush, that's not true. Api Allah, it's not true. The Rush says that the definition of mutal of the kovra means anyone who's a chiyav avelus, any relatives, any brother, sister, husband, wife, son, whatever the case is. Says the Rush, the Allah l'maisa, we don't accept this Rabbeinu Tam altogether. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rush. So if you just read straight Shulchan Aruch writes the famous in Shemem Aleph that the dinim of aninus apply afilu ena meis be'ir. He doesn't even quote the story of Rabbeinu Tam. So he just in one fell swoop throws away the whole Rabbeinu Tam. So in Echinami, if you follow straight Shulchan Aruch, then it doesn't matter what Rabbeinu Tam said. We don't pass any Rabbeinu Tam anyway. However, the Shach, no pun intended, brought the Rabbeinu Tam back to life. The Shach quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. And the Shach quotes the Bach's version of Rabbeinu Tam. So that already is the Shach is taking a double stand. He's disagreeing with the Mechaber in 2 points. He's saying that from the fact that he quotes the Bach, sounds like that's what he's pasquining, and he's quoting the Bach's understanding. So this is the Shaila Ada Yom Hazeh. There are different minhagim amongst different Mori HaRav is Manazeh. There are some who go straight like the Shulchan Aruch and say this whole story doesn't apply anymore. The whole thing is not true. We pasquin straight Rush. No matter where you are, if you get word that a relative of yours died, so the halacha is you're considered to be an absolute onein l'chol davar, and whereas other rabbanim will hold like the pasuk like the shach. So this is getting individualized pasuk in terms of, but this whole comes back, so boils down to the original machlokes of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh, but the two versions of what Rabbeinu Tam said. Comes Tosis, the beginning of the third parak, and quotes a similar idea. That if a person, since the whole notion of Misha makes a mutal afanav is really an expression of Misha mutal lekovro, that sometimes you can have the following situation. It tells us, quote the name of the Yerushalmi, that sometimes you can have a person who's technically a karov, but it's not really mutal of lekovro anymore. Why isn't it mutal of lekovro? Because you already handed over the mace to somebody else. So the Yerushalmi speaks about two cases, Nimsa l'rabim and Nimsa l'katafim. The Yerushalmi says it's really basically the same thing. The name is, there's a designated group of people in town where it's understood that that they're the ones who are in charge, they're the ones who are metapol and the mesim. So once the krovim call them up and appoint them in charge to take care of the mace, so then technically speaking, the karov is no longer involved, so then all the dinim of aninus fall off, and the owner would be permitted to eat meat and drink wine at that point, the owner would be required to do mitzvah at that point. That's the masrul ha-katofim. So the Ramban in Sefer Torah Adam writes that he thinks that lashon that the Yerushalmi uses, Masarua Lakatafim, sounds a little bit, the Ramban doesn't spell this all out, later folks can say this is what the Ramban seems to be driving at, that lashon Masarua Lakatafim sounds like that the Krovim did a little bit of something. I mean, the Krovim start the ball rolling, they do a little bit, and then they call in the Katafim to finish off the job. That could be why the lashon Katafim, Katafim means their shoulders, is literally the pallbearers. It could be the way the Ramban seems to present it, is that the Krovim did, they took care of the Tachrichim, or they made the initial phone calls, and then once they did their job, so then it's okay, then it's alright, then somebody else can take over, and the dinim of Aninus fall off. So this is a major machlekes haposkim about whether this din is applicable b'zman hazeh. The scenario that we have b'zman hazeh is a classic Hever Kedisha set up. So usually what happens is as follows, that somebody passes away, so you usually call the Rav, you call the head of the Hever Kedisha, and basically the Hever Kedisha comes in and takes over and runs the... and runs the entire show. So what's the halacha? Is that considered to be Masarula Khatafim or not? If that's true, that the handing over the mace of the Chevek Kedisha Bizman Hazeh is dino like Masarula Khatafim, then basically all Vichos Aninus Bizman Hazeh isn't really going to apply. So it'll make our sub a little bit shorter. We knock off the first two or three shir. So comes the Chayei Adam, and was very annoyed at the Minhag Ha'olam. Comes the Chayei Adam and says, he doesn't understand. Why is it that people are still basically being negged the dinim of aninus b'zman hazeh, and it's working the kulam? These people are not davening anymore when they're aninus, because that's one of the dinim. They're only not allowed to daven, not allowed to make brachas, on the bench, etc. So comes the chayyab and says, he doesn't understand. B'zman hazeh, it's always necessary. Look at tafim. You call the chayyab kedisha. They're taking over. So the male hilchos aninus falls by the wayside. So if you're not aninus, you're not an anymore. So you have to start doing mitzvahs. So comes the Nebi Yehuda, and is Malamit Chosim with the Minhag Ha'olam. And the Yehuda suggests that maybe this setup of Masarul HaKatofim that the Yerushalmi and the Shulchan Aruch are describing, which is Mafkir, the dinim of Aninus, really doesn't apply B'zman Hazeh. What's the difference? It says the Nebi Yehuda, it could be that the only time it's considered to be Masarul HaKatofim, that's only if the Krovim are totally out of the picture in the following sense, that they're not even planning on going to the Levaya. Means they call up the hand over to the Katofim and it's finished. He's out of the picture of the Gamrei. But, says the Nebi Yehuda, that's not what happens in Manazeh. In Manazeh, you call up the Chevek Kedisha and they're metapel and the Tachrichim and the Aron and the burial plot and Hakal Midrach. But then you show up and the Ovalo, then the owner himself, the Kov himself, does show up for the Levaya. So comes the Nebi Yehuda and says he doesn't think that that's the equivalent of Masarul HaKatofim that the Yerushalmi was describing. And therefore, he wasn't in the Lamed Chos in the Minhag Ha'olam. That calls not that the Karevim are planning on going to the Levaya, so then Masarul HaKatofim really doesn't set in. So what's the...
Why would that be? I mean, just the din being osek no longer.
So it could be that kolzma that it could be just mitzias as far as the kolzma that the krovim are still planning on going. So they're still in a certain sense being osek. I mean, they are going to help out a little bit along the way when they get to the Beit HaKvaros. They're going to help, even though right now this split second maybe they're not being osek, but that's still considered to be in the state of Misha Meisim with Lefana. So how should we pass in the halacha? Machlekes the Chayyadim and the Yehuda. So do the Rishonim have anything to say about this? So there are a few cryptic statements in the Rishonim that may or may not shed the light on this child, depending on who you ask. We ask the Chayyadim, we ask the Yehuda. So there is a statement of the Rav Yoh that's quoted in the Nagos Maimini when the Rav Yoh speaks about bringing the mace al hagola the chsvina something when the mace is being transported. Whether the people have the status of owner or not. The only thing that's not clear from the Fetzal Hagos Maimini himself is not even sure, and it's not clear from the Hagos Maimini, is that really talking about the scenario? Is it really talking about that maybe the owner himself is traveling alone? Not as the owner himself traveling alone, but maybe he never handed it over to somebody. Maybe the owner himself is still being the tafel. I mean, some Achronim wanted to reap shot in the Hagos Maimini. That's what the Hagos Maimini meant, that he's talking about such a situation with Onan handed over the mace to somebody who's in charge, who's the captain of the ship, or he's the wagon driver, and the owner is going along also. It's not even clear if that's really the case. So the Hagos Maimini is also not 100% clear. So comes the Ramah and quotes from a Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah, that's also not exactly clear whether this is even the scenario that the Achronim are talking about. Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah, is quoted by the Ramah, makes the following statement, that if malichnas ha-meis, me'ir le'ir, you're traveling with the mace from city to city, so let's assume for now that means that somebody's going along also, the carb is going along with the mace. So Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah make the following cheshbon. If you're going on a trip, it's obviously going to take you a month to get to the Beit HaKvaros, how can you call that Misha Meisim? What's the fun of it? It's a joke. The guy's mamish doing not like Joshua. He's not doing anything for a month. So he's so mufka from any asek because the trip is such a long trip to get to the Beit HaKvaros. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's not called Misha Meisim. What's the fun of it? However, if it's a short trip, Rabbeinu Yonah draws the cutoff point. If it's less than a two-day trip, he says. If it's less than a two-day trip, so that's still considered to be a little bit Misha Meisim with Lefanov. So Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah says, therefore the din of Anina still applies. One could argue, as Kvega suggests, that what this Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah is in effect addressing is this scenario that the Nadi Behuda and the Chayyadim were debating. That means you're handing over the mace to somebody. So why don't you just say that from the fact that you handed over the mace, that in and of itself shouldn't be mafkir the din of aninus? So the answer is because you're going along also. That same svara that the Yehuda says seems to be munach and Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah draws a distinction between if it's a very long trip, so then it's for sure not called Misha Meisim with Lefanov. It's crazy. There's nothing, you're not going to do anything for 2 weeks. Masha Enkin, if it's just for a few hours, so notwithstanding the fact that you handed over the mace to somebody, that's still considered to be Misha Meisim with Lefanov. The reason must be because of another Yehuda svara. That since you're going along, that's still not quite yet the point of Misarula Katofim. This is this statement of Rabbeinu Yonah is a little bit questionable. Bizman Hazeh, this Hagdara that Rabbeinu Yonah is giving, which there are more paskins that if you're on a long trip, so then Aninus falls off. You're on a short trip, so Aninus still continues. This would be Nogel Amayt, of course, for let's say going with a mace to fly to Eretz Yisrael. Let's say, for example, somebody is a nifter in New York, and you go along with the mace to Eretz Yisrael. So that's Mustama less than a long trip. So that's only a couple hours, 10 hours or so on the plane. So on the plane, is the person still considered to be an onen? So according to the simple reading of the Ramah, the answer is yes. That since it's a short trip, so even though that's not really Mesirul HaKatafim, because you're going to know the Yudhi are going along, so the Lechara, one could argue that he's still considered to be Dino Ka'onen. So they quote from Shlomo Zalman that he wasn't so sure that should be true Bizman HaZeh for the following reason. That, says Shlomo Zalman, in the case of the Ramah, in the case of Rabbeinu Yonah, the karav is with the mace together. They're in the same agol, they're in the same wagon, they're in the same boat. It is mamish there. So there's any need whatsoever, something, let's say you have to maneuver the mace around or something, or some machon bizoyan, you have to fix something. So the guy's mind is still in the mace. There's something he can physically do to take care of the tzarchei mace. Masha Enkin, today in a plane situation, they put the mace in cargo, under the plane. I'm sitting in the passenger section. So what in the world is the person going to do? Ain lecha, ain misha misha mutlafana of gadol mizeh. So Shlomo Zalman suggested. Others weren't so sure that chiluk was right. So if that's true, that's going to change the din bizman hazeh. So kol panim, getting back to what we started with. So we have a din in Yerushalmi. We have a din in the Shulchan Aruch. Misarul ha-katof is mafkir the din of aninus. So that's for sure. But the question is, where do you draw the line? So according to Nebi Yehuda, that din only applies if the that din of Mesirullah Katavim only applies if the Krovim are not going along, and according to the Chayyada, that din applies even if the Krovim are going along. I think the Minhag HaOlam is like the Nebi Yehuda. I think it's a double partial like that. That people assume that the din of Anina supplies Bizman HaZeh, Harayim will learn the din. That the din of Anina supplies Bizman HaZeh even if you're quote-unquote Mosul Chaver Kedisha, because Pasha said the Nebi Yehuda is right. There are others who want to argue that even if the Nebi Yehuda is not really right, but still Bizman HaZeh, we can still assume like the Nebi Yehuda. Why? Because Bizman HaZeh, even when you call the Chaver Kedisha, even though the Chaver Kedisha does run the whole show, but Afa Bichain, the Krovim are still a little bit involved. I mean, they're still making phone calls, they're still inviting people to the Levaya, they're still they're still trying to find their documents for burial plots. And there's still some things that the Krovim themselves, they're not just sitting and twiddling their thumbs. It's not like the olden days, and the Tzvila that Katov from Rav Avish, you get the impression that the Olim were doing absolutely nothing. So, Halach L'maisa B'zman HaZeh, the Olim assumes that the dinim of Aninas are still noeg, notwithstanding the fact that you call the Chaver Kedisha, either because the Nadi Behuda is classically right, that calls out of the Krovim are going, so for sure the dinim of Aninas are still apply, or even if the Nadi Behuda is not mamish right, alpi alacha, but in terms of practically the Zman HaZeh, we assume that it's not quite the same as Masur Lakatafim. So, Ochle Maisa, we end up following the Nadi Behuda.
So once he gets off the
train, Right, then it becomes there again. If you don't say to Shlomo Zalman, so basically what that means is that that Kozman that you're on the plane, your mamash still know what it means. You wouldn't make a bracha. Kozman, you're sitting on the plane, you don't make a bracha. It's makom karov. Hashenke, according to Shlomo Zalman, once you put the maces, put into cargo, so then you become no longer an onay. Once you get off the plane, then you become an onay again. You're a chanam, right? So which person? So the person who's starting the person is going from New York to LA. Where's the mace? The mace is in LA. So this depends on the Rabbeinu Tam, the Pashtus. This may very well depend on the Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Rosh, so Avada, the person has a din of an onay, the person even in New York has a din of an onay. Masha Einkein, according to Rabbeinu Tam, so then the Pashtus, the person doesn't become an onay until he lands in L.A. That's what the Geshe Chaim writes. The Geshe Chaim was going along the lines of Rabbeinu Tam. That Kol Zman, you're out of town, you're not really an onay. Once you get into town, then you become an onay.
Even if not in the town.
Oh, I mean, unless there's no one else around. There's no one else around, then you've never been in town, probably.
He's sitting here with a mace, but there's no code doing it.
There's nobody around, yeah, I don't know. Right. But he's talking about Rabbi Wiles, referring to the case where there are Krovim in L.A., and everything's all ready, and now the Krovim from New York are coming.
Another question is, the Tosfos at the bottom, they
quote
2 days of
Yerushalmi,
beginning of
Mishnah. Yeah. We're going to get to that. Yeah, well, we'll see about that, yeah. Covered amaze, right. That's the Taza Tan, right. That's the Taza Tan of Rabbeinu Tam, is that it's against the Yerushalmi. Right, we'll get to it. No, sir, Shlomo Zalman seems to be qualified to meet Rabbeinu Yonah, was the what they said, 1 day versus 2 days. Because again, where they get Halacha Moshe Sinai, that idea is, again, these are all Hash'aras, how much can you still call it Misha Mason with Lefana, so the Rabbeinu Yonah felt that if the trip is so long, that it's so far removed from the Kvura, so you can't really call it Misha Mason with Lefana, but it's still within that day, so that's called Misha Mason with Lefana. So from Zama one at a time, even within the day, that's only true if the mace is still close to you, but if the mace is in another part of the plane, there's mamish zero you could do right now.
So it's not like, you know, you just, as long as you're going to be at the cemetery in the head,
Right. Well, Rabbeinu Yonah, right, but the Nebi Yehuda is supported by Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah. The Nebi Yehuda and Rabbeinu Yonah are one and the same, in effect, because if it's a short trip, so why didn't Tamid
traveling with the body?
I don't think that's enough. Why did Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah? Why didn't they just say that once you hand it over to the Balagoa, so you're, that's by definition called Mitzvah Rola Katafim. So Rabbi Kivega says, because the Nebi is right. Because since you're planning on going also, that's not considered to be enough in Nafkir the Aninas. The only reason Rabbeinu Yonah was willing to Nafkir the Aninas, that's only if it's a long trip. That's for a different reason.
Huh? Then it would suggest that since nowadays, even out of town, you can use like a telephone.
Telephone. So, I mean, assuming what? Assuming
that you're holding Rabbeinu Tam.
I mean, you want to tell me that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the whole
down,
idea...
You could always hear him on top, though.
I mean, I'll pee, then you could say it to be on top. The question is that really... If that's really the Metzias HaDvarim, that you are, sometimes you can have that the person who passed away stays in Florida, and the person who's, and it's not a relative of yours in Florida. But let's say you have there's two elderly people in Florida. One passes away, and the sister, the elderly sister, is also in Florida. She's in town, but then she's not doing anything, and the relatives who are taking care of everything are taking care of New York. Yeah, that's going to change also, right?
What defines the top?
The top of
anything?
Whoever's
doing. Even if they just make a phone call, that's already
the top. Yeah, I think so. So comes Tysus in the beginning of the third paragraph of Brachas and quotes another possible exception to the rule of what Misha makes him with Lafanov. And what's the din if the mace is the person died in jail? So we know the famous mace of the Marmar Ruttenberg. The Marmar Ruttenberg died in jail and they don't let his body out for any 14 years. That's what Tysus is describing also. That if the person is dies in captivity, so the government's not letting his body be released, so what do you want from the relatives? What do you mean Misha makes a mutlafanav? Mutlafanav to do what? They're not going to do anything. They can't do anything. Their hands are tied. So that's not considered to be aninus. Then Tosis writes, don't think that avelus starts either. We're going to get to this a little bit later. If the body's missing, so when does avelus set in? So Tosis writes that here the body's not missing. We're waiting. And yet Hashem, hopefully the government will be nice and they'll let the body be released. So right now Tosis says they're not onanim and they're not avelim either. So this then we assume also lalach and shulchan aruch, that in the case of the body is not being released by the government, that's also considered to be not yet ilchas aninus, are not going to set in. So this was the big machlokes of poskim. Usually we don't have this scenario, but we have the following scenario. This is a fairly common shaila. Sometimes you can have a situation where a person is nifter and the body is not being released by the government, not because the government's corrupt and they're trying to hold them for ransom for 20 years. Sometimes the government's not releasing the body, or the government agency's not releasing the body because of certain legal technicalities. Let's say, for example, sometimes there's a whole fight about doing an autopsy. Sometimes a person is killed in a crime, or sometimes a person was killed in an accident, or any bizarre situation. So you're going to have to fight it out with the government in terms of doing autopsy, or sometimes doing other types of tests. So what's the halacha? So right now, Bashar Hashem, the government is not giving back the body. Right now they're telling you, listen, for the next 3 days, you're not getting this body. So what's the halacha? So are the krovim considered to be onanim or not? So this was also big machlokes of poskim. So some poskim said, nope, they're not considered. It's not misha meisim l'lafanav. There's absolutely nothing they can do right now. They can't do anything. So my nafka mina, whether the government's holding onto the body for 20 years, or the government's holding onto the body for 3 days, that's what some poskim said. So the Pesach Tshuva quotes in the Yehuda, disagree with this also. Comes in the and says that there's a very big chilek between the two cases. Why? Says in the Yehuda, in the first case, in the case when the government's not releasing the body, you don't know whether the government's ever going to release the body. You hope and pray they're going to turn nice about it someday, but you have no idea what's going to happen. So says in the Yehuda, there are other things that have to be done besides the actual kvura, let's say to buy techrichim and to buy an aron. So are the krovim required to lay out money right now to prepare techrichim and an aron if they don't know they're ever going to get the body? So the Yehuda says he doesn't think so. He thinks so. They have to spend thousands of dollars to prepare for a levaya that may never happen. So he says right now the krovim have mamish nothing to do. The kvura itself they can't do because there's no body. The buying of the techrichim, buying of the aron, they're not mechuyev to do because they're not mechuyev to shell out money ala safek. Says in the Yehuda, in a case where you're going to get the body in 3 days from now, so right now, there's no actual levaya, there's no actual kavura to do, but there are other things to do. So go prepare the aron, go prepare the tachrichim, go figure out with the chavah kaddish, go figure out what other things that can be done, and if Adi Yimachiv to do that, because you know for a fact there's going to be a kavura in a couple of days from now. So says in the Yehuda, he thinks that in and of itself is enough to be poking you from mitzvahs, and that's enough to create a nisabas of yayin. The chiddush of the beauty is that even though right now Bashar Hashem there's no possibility of doing kavura because the government's not letting you do it, but the other tzarchi hanes which you want to do, so that in the chinami, that in and of itself is enough to create a din of aninus. So talk with somebody yesterday, the shayla, a couple of months ago, somebody called me with the shayla where somebody was. I forgot already what the details of the story was. Somebody was killed in a crime or something. I forgot what was it? Were you the one who called me? No, every while. You were the one? Were you the one who called me? I don't remember who it was. It was you. If you don't remember, okay. Second. I don't remember. You don't remember. Someone wasn't you. So another Rav called me. Another Rav called me that somebody was killed and some very suspicious. Suspicious conditions, and they wanted to do some testing or something. And the government said, "Listen, we're not giving you the body for 2 days, and then we finish whatever we're doing." So this is Mamash Hashanah. That's what he asked me. So I told him that Pitzchei Tshuva quotes the Nebuta, that on the page of Shulchan Aruch, that's the only thing that appears. All the posts have other things to say about it, but Lamaisa, on the official page, so the Pitzchei Tshuva quotes the Nebuta. I told him, I think with some of the people, with some of them, still considered to be Omanim.
We said within 48 hours.
The what?
Only within 48 hours.
He let himself write that. I don't remember how long it was. That was the case.
The case was they had a law that 48 hours.
Right. Because he's talking about, they used to be, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, about, there was a whole big sichtuch in Europe about burying people right away. They used to have, in some countries had laws, they weren't allowed to bury people for a couple of days. They wanted to make sure that the person was really dead. Apparently, what happened, that once they buried somebody, the guy walked out of the yard or something in the middle of Leviah. I'm sure some people were happy, but some people were a little, the government got very nervous about that happening, so they made gazeris across the board. You're not allowed to bury people within 2 or 3 days or something. So I think that was the...
In South America.
You still have it?
Kadushas
used to have that. Used to have that? Oh, really?
Yeah.
This was a throwback from, this was a big machlokes. We're going to get them. It's towards the end of the summer. We speak a little bit about the dinim of kfura per se. So we're going to talk about this. Now, this is a very hot issue in Europe about what we're supposed to do about this. Are we supposed to, is this law good for the Jews or bad for the Jews?
Is there any limit to this? Like, at some point you're going to run out of things to do.
Yeah, Mustama, right. Mustama, there is a limit to it, yeah.
Is it? Right. For whatever reason, because of a problem with the medical examiner's office or case, in a town where there's not many Jews buried there.
I had this in somebody in my shul also. Somebody in my shul was killed in a car accident. So common procedure is that they do some test. They want to make sure that the person, you know, wasn't on drugs, wasn't drunk, you know, that you know nothing wrong with the person who was killed in terms of insurance. So your hands are tied. It means the government's telling you, but first, the examiner says, we're not giving you back the body until we do X, Y, and Z testing. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, it was only a question of a few hours. They were able to knock everything off in a few hours. And the truth is that Taka the Krovim were being, in those few hours, were being Isaac in...
Here in Detroit, it's not a problem. You get safe and enough for us on Sunday.
Right.
What about the scenario of one of those deaths on Friday?
Yeah, so Mustama, what makes is Mustama, that's the right Hagdara that calls now that the Krovim really have things to do. So Mustama, if you follow this Nebbi Yud, that's still considered to be Aninas, Mashenkim, when you reach a certain point. The Nebbi Yud himself talks about, in the case of Nebbi Yud, they had the body, just that the government wouldn't let them bury it. So Nebbi Yud says, you should put it in an Aron and close the Aron, Rashi holds the Aninas is over then. But here, that's not the option over here. I don't know. These are case by case basis to really see. I think we have a right to follow the Nebi Yehuda, but again, if some you get a point where even the Nebi Yehuda is going to have to be made that Aninus is over. You have to throw up your hands and say, "There's mamish nothing. There's nothing to do for the next week." I don't know. No, I think they go hand in hand. Pashas they all, everything goes hand in hand. Yeah. It's Rishami, Tavachom, no? Rishami says that. It's the same. Basically, the dinim are the same. There is another scenario which is also somewhat questionable. Misha makes him with Lefanim, and that's a comment the Ramban has in Torah to Adam, which didn't make it into Shulchan Aruch. The Ramban throws out a possibility that maybe a married woman, if one of her parents passes away, so she's not really considered to be an Onim. She's not considered to be Misha makes him with Lefanim. Why? Because she's really Bishus Achim. She's Bishus her husband. So let's say Liyatsuya, the husband would say to her that nope, that he wants her to make supper tonight. He wants her to not to be involved in the tzarchi ameis, assuming there are other people around. Let's say she has brothers. So the Ramban seems to say that dinim of aninus wouldn't apply because that's not called misha meisim lefanav. That she has other achrayus to take care of, and she has other relatives who are being mitatal. So that in and of itself is not considered misha meisim lefanav. So the Pesukim don't quote this Ramban lalach. I don't think we pass like that. We assume that bizman is there, the husbands are nice, they don't mind, they let the wives take care of whatever they have to take care of. So I don't know. It's a strange sheet of the Ramban, but the Ma'aseh Shulchan Aruch is not really quoted. So again, so basically just to sum up in terms of Misha makes a mutla funov, so we have a Mishnah that says the phrase Misha makes a mutla funov. The Gemara in Bracha says that that's synonymous with Misha mutla ol kavro. Then you have different permutations in the Mishnah. Where do you draw the line? You have the Machlekes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh, and you have the Machlekes within Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. Then you have the Yushami statement of Mitzvah Lekatofim with the Machlekes Nadibut of the Chayodim. Where do you draw the line in that? Then you have these questionable scenarios. There's Manazeh in terms of the Ramazur Tamim. maybe to Rabbeinu Yonah in terms of traveling, maybe that changes as not as that. Then you have the issues of the person who the body is not accessible, so the Iker din of body not accessible, that's what it says in Tosfos and Shulchan Aruch, that if the government, Mamash, is not going to give you back the body indefinitely, so then the din of Aninus are, oh, they do not apply. Then you have the modern day version of that, which is the questions that are due than others. Then you have this Mechudosh Tikkun the Ramban, we don't really pass away. We finish the first again, okay? Good. And we're done so far so good? Okay.
Anyway, with the Rosh, it says no matter where you are, there's aninus. Yeah. Are they understanding the concept of aninus is not all basic in the mitzvah, rather a different idea? And
that's what Rabbi Wall was alluded to. Is that Rosh related to the Rishon that we're about to talk about? So when we finish Rishon, then we'll go back to that.
Okay.
Be the case where the body's being held up for a couple of days. I don't know, maybe, because the Yehuda's whole svara was that you can't talk to the guy because he's not being Ozzy in the Kvuru, because being Ozzy in the Tachrichim, and then, but the Tachrichim was there already, you know, everything's finished already. And the only thing that's left for him to do is the Kvuru, and he can't do the Kvuru. There's nothing for him to do. The grave is sitting and waiting. I don't know. You know, I think that mayor probably would be right on that. But now that we think, at least we have some kind of an inkling as to what's called Nisha Mason with Lefano, so now we have to ask ourselves, so what is this? Oh, you're not allowed to do exactly. What are the dinim of Anina? So then the Mishnah says, the Mishnah at the beginning of the third Berakha Bracha says that Misha makes a little fun of, so it's Pata from mitzvahs. So first of all, it's not even clear which mitzvahs exactly the Mishnah is talking about, because the Mishnah, the reason why this sugya appears in Bracha is because the Mishnah is talking about Kriyashma. So the Mishnah spells out that the Misha makes a little fun of is Pata me Kriyashma, me Tfilin, Tfilin. And then there are two girsos in the Rishonim, whether there's the next line of the Mishnah. Some Rishonim had the girsos, and we call mitzvah samuras batayra. Another Rishonim said, no, that the Mishnah just stops. Kriyashma, tefillah, utfillah. So if you assume that the girsa is kol mitzvah samuras batayra, then there's nothing special about these three. The only reason why these three were singled out is because it's Maseches Bracha, so everything else in those two prakim is talking about kriyashma, tefillah, utfillah. So it just started out like that also, but it didn't lagabi all mitzvahs as well. Mashenkein, if you hold it that the girsa, the buck stops here, that Misha makes a little fun of is really just part of a tefillin, and kriyashma. So what is unique about those three mitzvahs? So Rabbi Yonah quotes two different possibilities. So he quotes one pshat that says that even if the girsa is tefillin ve kriyashma, it didn't mean just three lafuki Allah. These three were the chiddush. That means even these three mitzvahs, which are so chashuv, kriyashma, kabbalah tamach shemayim, tefillin kabbalah tamach shemayim, davening shemane esrei, these are the real makulis. These are the most serious mitzvahs around, and he spotted from those to kavachayim of the sham mitzvahs. So if you held that pshat, Rabbi Yonah, then you end up with the same as the first girsa. That means it doesn't really make a difference. But comes Rabbi Yonah and says, no, maybe Yesh Leimar, that the girsa is exact, that Misha makes a mutla fun of his pata from Kriyashma, Tfila, Utfilin, at Kan Velo Yoysa, that he's talking really Mechuvin of the mitzvahs. So, my high, you manage to have these three mitzvahs. So, says Rabbi Yonah, maybe these three are unique in the following, that these three mitzvahs are mitzvahs which require a special, a lot of concentration. The Kriyashma, we know, requires special concentration. That's what the Gemara says, that Kriyashma requires Kavana. That's what the Rishonim point out. The Rashba in the beginning of the second Berakha Brachas points out that the Din Kavana by Kriyashma is different from the Din Kavana by all other mitzvahs. When I eat matzah, so I just have to have Kavana l'shem mitzvahs matzah. I want to make sure I get the right example of the mitzvahs. There will be other exceptions also. Let's say when I do other mitzvahs, let's say for argument's sake, I take a lulav, so I just have to have in mind l'shem mitzvahs lulav. That's it. Mitzvah zichus Kavana. But I don't really have to be paying attention b'shas ma'isa to what I'm doing, as long as I said hini b'chum zumin or I thought hini b'chum zumin, so I'm okay. So the Rashba says by Kriyashma there's a different for legame. By Kriyashma, not only am I mechuyif l'shem mitzvahs Kriyashma, but when I'm saying the words of Kriyashma, I have to have in mind the kavanas amilim, the kavanas perisha inyan, because the nature of the mitzvah Kriyashma is kabbalat malchus shemayim. So that's what Rabbi Yonah is saying here also, that Kriyashma is unique, that you have to have a special kavanah that other mitzvahs don't require. So maybe that's the reason why the onion is potter from Kriyashma, because he's not hot and cuffed to be able to have such a heligah kavanah. And tefillah also, there's a special din of kavanah that you have to have in mind for kavanah teyus hamilim or kavanah omer v'hamelech. Reb Chaim and tefillah remember this. So there's some higher levels of kavanah that tefillah needs above and beyond the other mitzvahs. And tefillin also, by tefillin, when you wear tefillin, you're not allowed to be mesich das, you're not allowed to be thinking about other things when you're wearing tefillin. You're supposed to be focused purely on the inyanim of kedusha and rachnias. So Rabbi Yonah suggests a possibility that maybe these three mitzvahs are excluded from an onion because you can't haul a halt cup that way. But other mitzvahs, maybe in a chalami, maybe an onion is required to fulfill. So that day in Rabbi Yonah is not accepted la halacha. We assume, like, either that the girsa of a in the Mishnah is that Pata Mikol Mitzvah Zamur Spatera, and even if for whatever reason that's not the correct girsa, but we assume, like, the first day in Rabbeinu Yonah that the Torah applies to all mitzvahs. So, Allah Levai said, we spot constraint Shulchan Aruch, that an onion is Pata from all mitzvahs in the Torah. what does this mean that he's potter from all mitzvahs in the Torah? Why should that be? So Rashi says in a couple of places, in the beginning of the third parak of Brachas, that this is linked to a regular din, which you find in other areas of Allah, the din of Aitzi b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. So the Gemara, earlier in Masechus Brachas, and in the second parak of Masechus Sukkah, the Gemara says there's a din based on Sukkah that Aitzi b'mitzvah is potter min ha-mitzvah, and the Gemara says there are really two different types of Aitzi b'mitzvah. There's the classic Aitzi b'mitzvah in Yimamish b'shas Mais, I'm in the middle of doing something, I'm on my way to go do Pidyon Shvuyim, and someone comes and asks me to do another mitzvah. That's classic Aitzi b'mitzvah. Mamish involves physically action and getting ready to do mitzvah number one, so I'm possibly mitzvah number two. That's one type of Isaac with mitzvah. And then there's another type of Isaac with mitzvah, which the Gemara says chosan is also potim in a mitzvah. Chosan, right after he gets mad, before Bi'er Rishayna, is also potim in a mitzvah. So there, he's not actually involved in the Maisa mitzvah Bi'er Rishayna, but he's Torah tirdas mitzvah. Since his mind is not clear, he's worried about other things. That's also called shtikal Isaac with mitzvah, potim in a mitzvah. That's what the Rishayna points out, that the Gemara has two psukim for Isaac with mitzvah. The Gemara says, b'shivtacha b'veisecha prat lo Isaac with mitzvah, v'lechtacha v'derech prat lo chosan. What's the difference? The answer is they're very different. They're two totally different dinim. One is a din of Isaac Mamish, Peshas Maitha, and one is a din of Torah Tirdas Mitzvah. So Rashi, in the beginning of the third Berger Bracha, says that's the Ptur for Einin as well, that he's a Torah Tirdas Mitzvah, that even though he's not right this second, he's not digging a grave. If he's Mamish digging a grave right now, he's Mamish sowing Techrichim now, that's Isaac for Mitzvah. But he's not. I mean, he just got off the phone, I'm saying he's trying to get his thoughts together before he makes his next phone call. So right now he's not really doing anything, but he's Torah Tirdas Mitzvah, so that's why he's popped up from all mitzvahs. It's basically the same exact Ptur as Chasim.
Could we say these are the two shitas by the Rosh would say that it's all tier, so even if he's nowhere nearby, it's still these Torah.
Okay, oh, we're gonna relate back to that. And look at me. So comes Tosfos and makes an observation according to Shitas Rashi, that of the whole nature of the Ptur is the Ptur of Tirda the Mitzvah. So that's a Ptur, but it's not an Isser. Let's say Dinabai Chasm. Let's say Chasm decides that he wants to volunteer and say Kriya Shema. Is there anything wrong with that? So the Gemara says in the second Brach, not anything wrong with it, but it may be the right thing to do. And that's why Bizman is that, in fact, we do it. Bizman is that we don't postulate that Ptur of Chasm, Chasm Ptur is other things. But maybe from Bechinas, from Kol Bechinas, but the Ptur from Kriya Shema. So the Ptur in terms of Kriya Shema itself is not that we're not knowing yet, because we're not such big Bali Kavana all year long, so we don't want to take any chances on the night of the weddings. We also say Kriya Shema, but I'll call upon him. The din is clearly that when you have someone who's a Torah to do the mitzvah, if he desires to do the mitzvah, so call a kavod. So why not? So that's what Rashi seems to say here also when it comes to an onen, that the onen who's potter from mitzvahs doesn't mean he's not allowed to do mitzvahs, it just means that he's not mechuyav to do mitzvahs. Some of that means as follows: if he's mamish shoveling the grave right now, he's mamish starting up the tachrichim, and if he's going to stop to go run out and go put on tefillin, so that's going to shter the mitzvah. So yeah, that in a chinami, that even Rashi and some would agree that he's not supposed to do. But when the rest of the day, when he's just trying to figure out what these queries coming and going, trying to get his work together in terms of the levaya, so the stomach Rashi would hold that if a person wants to say Kriya Shema, so kolachavot, so it would be maybe it would even be the appropriate thing to do according to Shitas Rashi. So Pashi, there's no issa for an onion to do mitzvahs. So it comes Tosfos and says that Rashi seems to be against the Rishami. That seems to be is against the Rishami. Rishami says the Farish, and not only is an Oinen potter from mitzvahs, but an Oinen is also Lekayim mitzvahs. Why is an Oinen also Lekayim mitzvahs? So the Rishami presents two different reasons. So this is following Josh. We finally got to Rishami. Told you we get there? We got there. Yeah. So the Rishami says there are two different reasons why the Halacha prohibits an Oinen to do mitzvahs. One is, Ein lo misha yisa maso'o, that he has nobody to allow to volunteer, maybe he should volunteer, whereas according to Tosfos, no, that Tosfos accepted the second day in the Rishami Lalacha, Mishum Kveder Shomeis, is an Issa Gomer for an Oinin to do any mitzvah. How do we pass in Lalacha?
Essentially, it rejects the assumption we were working with from the beginning of the year.
Why?
And any time until
the Kura. Oh, but it could be that, that's when it's Mutal of the Kovro. That means Kol Zman that. I mean, Kol Zman, that there are things that I'm in the ballpark of doing, for me just to say that, yeah, taking care of the maces, the tachrichim and aron, that's important, and putting on tefillin is also important, that's to be done in mace. But in any case, if there's nothing for me to do, so it's not little of the cover, so the ball doesn't get rolling, so maybe cover the mace doesn't apply. So it's not necessarily a theorist. Cover the mace is not necessarily all-encompassing, It could be that the Rishami was talking about that right now I'm not being involved this split second. Mashenken, if you have a situation like Mr. Rola Katofim, where I'm totally out of the picture, or Meis Bira Cheres, I'm totally out of the picture, so you could still hold Kavan and Meis as a reason, and Afal Pichain you can hold that. So you're Mechav like the Taz. The Taz says that he thinks that the Machalikis have been a Tam in the Rosh, it's just a plain old Machalikis, the 2 days in Rishami. That Rabbeinu Tam, who everything was focusing around the actual Osek, the actual Asek and the Mace, that seems to be going with the first Pshat in the Rishami, whereas the Rosh has said, no, a low plug, that any Karav, as long as you're related, so there's an Issa government of the Mitzvahs, that seems to be going along the second line of the Rishami. That's not necessarily Muchach. One could argue that, because the Rishonim don't say that. The Rishonim don't exactly relate that Machlekes Rabbeinu Tam of the Rosh to the 2 days in the Rishami. So it could be that even according to the second day in the Rishami, that it's out covered an ace, but it's only called covered an ace when the person's in the ballpark doing something. That we pass in Halacha, and this Machlekes between Rashi and Tosfos. So, in Hilchos Avelos, it's very clear we pass in. What does the Mechaber say in Hilchos Avelos? He quotes straight out that it's also. The problem is in Hilchos Kriya Shema, it's not as clear. So, the Mice, the Poskim assume the Halacha like the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Avelos. We assume your day. The Archaim, so we assume that the Archaim, he quotes the possibility that maybe you could follow Rashi if you want to. So we assume the halacha that there's not only is there p'tuah, but there's an actual issa. So whoever up Yidin is called Misha Mason with Lafanov, there's an absolute issa gomer from the Dumitzis. Where does this issa come from exactly? This going with the second day in the Yerushalmi, this covered Amei story. Is this an issa d'Arais? Is this an issa d'Rabbanim? So the Beis Yosef writes the Dava Pasha that this is an issa mid d'Rabbanim. What kind of issa d'Arais is that? Where does it say in the Chumash that there's a din of covered Amei? Now, the mitzvah of Kvura, there's a mitzvah of Avelos, maybe not Torah according to some, but where does it say that an Aina is not the mitzvah in the Chumash itself? Well, Kach, you have to say that's a din mid rabban, the Chumash mesachetid, out covered a mace. And then we have to ask ourselves the question, wait a second, that's true that Minatoy, where the guy's really mechuyf to do mitzvah, Minatoy is mechuyf to say Kriyashma, and mid rabbanon, he's also to say Kriyashma because of covered a mace. So the Chum have a right to do that. The Torah says you have to say Krishma. The Torah says you have to put on the film. The Torah says you have to bench. The Torah says you have to do all these mitzvahs deraisa. And come the Chum and say, no, you don't have to. How you talking? So the answer is, yeah, you talking? Yeah, Rechidami. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos, that the Yesh Koch B'yach HaChumim Lako Dovim HaTorah B'Shev HaTaseh. That the Chum have a right, they have the ability to tell you, in effect, not to fulfill a mitzvah in HaTorah, as long as it's B'Shev HaTaseh, as long as it's passive. I mean, the Chum don't have a right to do an Avera. The Chum can't tell you. The Chacham can't tell you to be Michal Shabbos. The Chacham can't tell you to eat Shreif. The Chacham can't tell you to wear Shabbos. That they're not allowed to do. But what the Chacham can tell you to do is not to fulfill a mitzvah in the Torah if they see fit. So they did it all the time. We don't shake lulav on the first day of Sukkot when it falls out on Shabbos. Yesh Koch B'Chacham Lachadav Min HaTorah. We don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah when it falls out on Shabbos, even though Min HaTorah is Mechuyav too, because Yesh Koch B'Chachamim Lachadav Min HaTorah B'Shev Al Taseh. So that's what the Beis Yosef seems to be saying here also, that even though according to the Torah, you're mechuyev in kriyashma, you're mechuyev in benching, you're mechuyev in tefillin, come the Chum and say, no, mishum kavan ames, we're going to institute that you're not supposed to do it. If that's true, that the tam hadov, or the geder haptur, so to speak, is predicated on this rishus of the Chachamim to be arkadav min haTorah, v'shev al taseh, so then it's going to get very tricky to define, well, how far the Chum's powers go. What's it in the following case? Let's say you have an iser, a losa, say, but it's a particular type of a losa, say, that you're going to violate b'sheva al tasa. So what's the halacha? The Chum have a right to tell you to violate that or not? So normally we say, the Chum can't tell you to be mechal Shabbos, and the Chum can tell you not to hit a shofar today. So can they tell you to violate an iser lav, but the violation of that lav is b'derech sheva al tasa? What's the din? So this is a big machlekes. So Rabbi Chon Wasserman and Kudrus Divrei Seifrim has a whole arichas about this. Pashas machlekes b'shonim. We're not learning the whole sugya of Yesh Koch V'Yachom Lachad Avin HaTorah right now, but probably it's Mechlek Yitayz in the Rashba. So this may be part of the Shaila that the Prima Gozim is Merami to, that one line in the Pesach Teshuva, he quotes the Shaila from the Prima Gozim. What's it in the following case? Let's say you have someone who's in Onein, and it's Erev Pesach, it's Chalamoyed or something, and there's a Shaila of Chometz, and now he has Chometz in his Rishus. So he's in violation of by Rav Ayimotze. So is he supposed to do something about that? So here, on the one hand, he's an Onein. So generally speaking, as an Onein, he doesn't do mitzvahs. On the other hand, if he doesn't do the mitzvah of getting rid of his chametz, he's going to end up being a violation of Bayer Ravei Matzei. So what's the din? A guy gets the news on Chalamay Pesach that somebody just died. So the din of Aninas apply in Chalamay. What do they apply in Shabbos? The answer to this question, well, Chalamay, for sure they apply, because there's a mitzvah, you have to do Kfur Chalamay. So here the person becomes an oning, so he becomes potter from all mitzvahs, and now he realizes gevalt, he has a sandwich in the house. He realizes gevalt, he forgot to get rid of the pizza that's sitting in his freezer, and he wasn't mevatel, and he's in violation of bai rav emotei. What should he do? So should he go run to the backyard and make a fire to get rid of this pizza? Or should he say no? It says in the Mishnah that oning potter mikol mitzvah, so I'm potter from this mitzvah also. So this is very questionable, because if the Beis Yosef is right, that the only reason why the owning the latter be potter from mitzvahs deraisa is because yesh koch v'yachom lach adav min atoyer b'shev al taseh. Can you really call the shev al taseh? No. What's the lacha? So on the one hand it is passive, I'm not actively doing any aveir, on the other hand I'm violating a law. So this is the shayla. So the answer to this prima gadol shayla is not a hilchos anina shayla. This is the hilchos yesh koch v'yachom lach adav min atoyer shayla. Whatever you stand on that machlek, you're saying the Rashi is going to be the answer to this question. Sometimes you have the reverse shayla, you have the exact opposite shayla, which Rav Chana points out as well, is the flip side of the machlokes of Rishonim. What's it in the following case? Let's say, do the Chacham have a right to tell you to actively do something that will be a violation of an asay? It won't be a violation of a los asay. Everyone agrees they can't actively tell you to eat, to treif, or to be mechal Shabbos, but can the Chacham tell you to do an action that's in effect going to cause you to be in violation of an asay? So that's not shayla batas anymore. So let's say the case of sukkah. What's the halacha? Person is we left Pesach now back to Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Person realizes somebody just died, a relative just died on the Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So he's getting his yacked together. He's trying to give me metapol in the Esek Hanes. And now he's chalish and he's plastering. Wants to sit down and eat a sandwich. Does he eat in the sukkah? Does he eat out of the sukkah? So what's the halacha? So normally we say that an oinen is potter from mitzvah. So a stomach potter from mitzvah. So potter from sukkah is also a mitzvah. So here Saba Chareim said, well, not so fast. That he's part of the mitzvah of sukkah. Why? Because the chacham have a right to tell a person to eat out of the sukkah. When you eat out of the sukkah, that's not b'shev al tasa. That's a bitol asay b'kum vasay, because they're telling you to actively do something. Eating out of the sukkah is, in a certain sense, worse than not hearing shofar. When you don't hear shofar, you don't shake the lulav, and then you pass it, you shave al tasa. It's not yeshkach b'yav chacham. Masha any can't tell you to actively go eat out of the sukkah. It's not so posh the chacham have a right to tell you to do that. So those may be flip sides of the same shayla. Namely, what's the kaveh? What does the Chacham have a right to tell you to do? Do they have jurisdiction in the realm of asays? So it doesn't matter whether it's pekum v'asay, sheva tas, but they don't have jurisdiction in the realm of lavim, so therefore they can't tell you to violate by yiruah. What do you say? No, that the jurisdiction of chazal is in the realm of sheva tas. Whatever is not a demais as mutter, so therefore they wouldn't have the right, in terms of a sukkah, to tell you to eat out of the sukkah. On the other hand, they may have the right to tell you not to go burn your chomet. That's an open question. So these machloitzim that the later post can have, these technical details in terms of both in the chesed and the sukkah, are ultimately going to depend upon this yisayid of the Beis Yosef, since the whole osir of doing mitzvahs is for sure only mitzvah rabbanon. So it's based on yeshkach v'yachom lachad av minatayis. You have to define where do you draw the lines and where not.
Is it possible that Chacham would have, if they had the koach, would have allowed you to do both hasids?
Maybe. I don't know. There is a very difficult statement of the Aruch HaNer. The Aruch HaNer wrote, besides his parish on many of the sections in Shas, and besides his Tshuvas Ben Yitzion, he wrote a sefer called Bikur Yaakov. On the and it's printed in the back of the sefer Aruch HaNer on Maseches on Rosh Hashanah. It's on Hilchos Sukkah. It's a running parish on Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Sukkah. So the Bikur Yaakov quotes the Shaila that the earlier post had about is a does an owning eat in the sukkah? I'm Shaila, and is an owning sitting eat in the sukkah on Chol HaMoed? So the Bikur Yaakov says he doesn't understand what everybody's talking about. He thinks it's a davar pasha that he's potter from sukkah. Why? Because after all, the p'tur of owning is oisek b'mitzvah potter min mitzvah. So we all know that oisik mitzvah pater mitzvah v'adap lai tuch v'sukkah. That's what the sugi is. The sugi in Shas, the oisik mitzvah pater mitzvah, as on daf chafei in Masech HaSukkah. So he doesn't understand what everybody's talking about. So, Lafini is dieting, I'm not sure what he's talking about.
Even if the sugi is there, the pater, if there's one, you don't have to go ahead and try and find the sugi, because you have the sugi there.
You mean that depends on the chokes of the Ran, depends on the Ran about how much you have to be, but never should have to be a kind of name or not.
Still,
maybe. maybe. That's what others, it's not my ha'ara on the Bikur Yaakov, others had already, they don't understand what he means exactly. He says, if you're coming out to Ptur Daraisa, I don't miss a part of it, it's a diminator. Everybody agrees, that's right. The Marlon Zachman Potom, Shit Chab Vesecha. So Avada, when the official din of Vesecha Mitzvah Potom and a Mitzvah applies, so of course it's going to be Potom from Sukkah. That's not what the other Echronim are talking about. The Echronim are talking about a situation where it's not really Vesecha Mitzvah Potom and a Mitzvah. That means you basically finish whatever you're going to do. You're not so tired to tear the Mitzvah now. We're talking about the din derabbanan, that issa derabbanan that Rishalmi is telling us, that Taisa says that we pass in Shulchan Aruch as an issa derabbanan and a chayt v'yavr to do mitzvahs in the state of aninus. So that's only an issa derabbanan, and that's chacham ma'iskin when you don't have a ptur deraisa. That's what the Echron was talking about. Does that, did the Chum have a right to tell you not to eat in the sukkah where the Torah says you are mechuyav to eat in the sukkah? Masha'en can, in a case where you're a real bona fide oisik b'mitzvah, when you're mamish, the guy's mamish on the phone trying to maneuver the kvura, so of course at that moment he's not mechuyav to go run out to the sukkah. So I'm not exactly sure why the Bikur Yaakov threw in oisik b'mitzvah to this discussion. So really, there are two different dinim here. There's a din min ha-Torah that an owner is potter from mitzvah sometimes, whenever he meets the regular criteria of oisik b'mitzvah, whatever those klalim are. So vada the owner is potter from mitzvah min ha-Torah. But the Yerushalmi and Taisa are talking about when min ha-Torah, there at best there's only a p'tur min ha-Torah. It could be even, they may not even be a p'tur, but the issa gomor of doing mitzvah, that's for sure only mid rabbanan. That's going to go with the guidelines mid rabbanan. So a little bit of a tzarchiyah.
Can we say that Aruch Lener holds that while he's being osik, so then he's considered osik mitzvah, and therefore he's pater min ha-mitzvah, but once he has nothing left to do, so he's out of the category of aninus. He didn't enter avelus yet, but he's out of the category of aninus.
Right, that's what we assume halach. At that point, he's still not allowed to do mitzvah, so that's only mid rabbanan. So that's what the Chanera says, that he doesn't sit in sukkah because he's mitzvah, potter, and mitzvah. That has nothing to do with those even mitzvahs.
Maybe the issur derabbanan of malacha is only when he's being metapa with the mace.
No, but that's what Taisa seems to say. Not the way the Yerushalmi says. Afilu yesh lo mishem misa masal. Even if he's not busy right now, he's still considered to be asa be mitzvah. So I call upon him. Sometimes the p'tur onein is a potential p'tur min ha-Torah v'aseh b'mitzvah, and the all-encompassing din is that he's mamish also. That's what we assume halach in Shulchan Aruch, that an onein is mamish and issa gomor midrabanan to do mitzvahs. Are there any exceptions to that? Are there any mitzvahs that really doesn't apply to? So there is a tshuva to Nedev Yehuda. We'll close for now. Continue hopefully a little bit more tomorrow. But the Nedev Yehuda suggests the following. That b'mendev b'mamurim that the chachamim is doing mitzvah, heimam ve'imam b'mendev b'mamurim that the chachamim ma'asat the guy to do mitzvahs. So maybe that's only a type of a mitzvah where if you don't do the mitzvah, so you're not going to lose. I mean, you lose that particular mitzvah, okay, but the chachamim felt that covering a mitzvah is more important. But sometimes you can have a mitzvah that if you don't do the mitzvah today, so it's going to cost you down the line. So what is the example of that? Tzvirsa Omer, the famous shiloh. The person is an owner, the middle of Tzvirsa Omer. So is he not allowed to count Svirsa Omer now? And then Bina thinks that maybe a Svara, that he's allowed to count Svirsa Omer now. I have admitted that Rabban has covered a maze. Yeah, but if you don't count Svirsa today, so then assuming that the crew is not going to be as long as they told until 2 days from now, so for the next 2 days you're not going to count Svirsa, you're not going to be able to count the afterwards. That's going to be a hefsed, even post the Kvura. So it's a Svara that he has, that maybe B'chei Gavna will take the Chacham, that maybe the Chacham only created an Isser when it's a one-time deal. I mean, don't put on film today. Don't say Kriya Shema today. So you say Kriya Shema tomorrow. Mash Enkein, if you don't do Sefiras Omer today, then you're not going to be able to count Sefiras afterwards, because we are knowing like the Bahag that you count without a bracha afterwards. So maybe that's considered like, as I have said, B'chei Agar Logo. That's a suggestion that you would have. Yeah, but those are types of mitzvahs that are not going to be. If you don't do them, so big deal. You pick it up next year. This is a different type of... It's a different type of voice. It means lulav you'll miss in Achinami, but you won't have a chiyuv tomorrow, so you're not doing the mitzvah today. It's not going to affect tomorrow. So it's only the only type of mitzvah according to the Bahag, and not doing it today is going to have a negative repercussions tomorrow.
You don't make a bracha,
right? Right. Yeah, it's a little tshuva. He puts together a whole conglomeration of reasons. Then he throws out a possibility, maybe a mitzvah that takes a split second to do. Maybe b'chei gavel or asru. So the yes and the mitzvah can't stick him out. The Gemara says, "Ain't no amen." It takes less to say amen than to say yom shlosha yom l'amen. That's also a problem.
So if you explain like the
rabbi
about Sfiras Omer, so that also answer that you're not doing a mitzvah, you're just counting.
No, you just yeah. Okay, yeah. Probably didn't. Probably never heard of that malach. Yeah. Maybe means I'm doing it for shlomo mitzvah.
Right.
Maybe.
But you can
suck in. Maybe. By Sfiras HaOmer, it's here for a few things that, I mean, in a, again, the shayla will only be relevant if the Levi is not going to be the whole next day. Like, let's say, oh, so it was more than a... So I'd say when he's on a plane, he should say. I mean, according to Shlomo Zalman, where was the mace? The mace was in Argentina. Yeah, I would say in such a case, he should count, because first of all, according to Rabbeinu Tam, he's probably not really an Onei now. So many people can say you should. The Kesher Chaim passes like Rabbeinu Tam straight out that if you're out of town, so even if you're planning on going to the Levaya, until you get to that country, so you're basically Chayv Mitzvahs. I would say, but two of that, plus the Nedi Behuda, plus a few things, I would feel much more comfortable having him count, or count without a bracha, or whatever. If you want to hold it for a minute, time straight out, then you can count even with a bracha. I would say, if the mace was here, the classic case, what I say. So what did we say before? The Nedi Behuda is on the page. That's what it says in Chachuva. He quotes it, right? Is he chalek on it? No? Is he quote others who would disagree with that Nedi Behuda? The Nedi Behuda throws together a whole million different... Sometimes in the back of our mind, we always have Rashi to rely on. Rashi holds no Isser. Rashi denies this existence of an Isser. Rashi says it's just a Ptur. So, and Shulchan Aruch quotes in our Chaim, Rashi sheet is Yeshom, and you're a day, you left it out. So, I don't know. I would say whenever you have any of these Natiyas, Lusafa, Yesh Makom, the whole Isser, I mean, this is Zalamid Rabbanan, the whole Isser, Mitzvah, Zalamid Rabbanan, I would tell them to count. I would say to rely on the interview. Tell them to count. Okay? Good. Okay, we'll stop now. Tomorrow we'll continue a little bit more.